Welcome to the Carolina Contractor Show with your host, General Contractor Donnie Blanchard. Welcome to the Carolina Contractor Show. My name is Eric Smith. I do inside sales for Home Builder Supply in Wilson and Greenville. And Donnie Blanchard is your host. He's a general contractor, also owner of Blanchard Building Company and SureTopRoofing.com. Now, today's show is going to be for you first-time home buyers, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a new house. Just maybe you've moved out from an apartment, or you've moved out from home, you're young and on your own for the first time, you got a house, you turn the key, open the front door, and you go, man, I got a house of my own. What do I do with it? We're going to try to answer some of those questions. But first, go to the website, thecarolinacontractor.com. You can download past episodes. You can also contact us through social media. We've got email there and Facebook and IG and YouTube. You can also ask a question about that new house you just got. Or maybe you've been living in the same house for 20, 30, 40 years and a new thing popped up that you're not sure what to do. Well, ask Donnie by clicking on the Ask the Contractor button. It goes straight to Donnie, answers them all. Now, last week we did a show that was more in my wheelhouse. That was the pros and cons of going to a big box store versus going to a building supply company like the one I work at. And there are definitely pros and cons to both. That was something that I knew a lot about with my job. Well, today is definitely going to be a show that Donnie knows a lot about, so we're going to have him give his expertise. But I want you to think about what I said a minute ago. You just got your first house. You've never been a homeowner before. The realtor hands over the keys. You walk up to the front door. You turn the key. It opens up and it's like a Pulp Fiction. You know how the briefcase lit up when John Travolta opened it? It's something like that. Just this glow. And you're like, I own a house. My first house. That wears off quickly when things start to break or you have to repair things because you no longer can pick up a phone and call the super or call someone to come from the maintenance department to fix your problem. It's your problem now, but there's lots of things you need to do the moment you get that new house that you probably haven't thought of. And this one, Donnie, I think it sounds gross, but it's not gross. It's really practical. And that is,
I would change the toilet seats out and all the bathrooms right away.
Amen.
If not, change the whole toilet. I think the next thing that I would follow up with, of course, goes along with security, but changing the locks. You don't know if you buy an existing house, you don't know who has had access to that house in the past. So I think changing the locks, it may be a little expensive, but definitely a no-brainer. And depending on if you live in a not so great neighborhood or if you have a questionable neighbor, even adding a secondary lock is something I'm a fan of. And so that's similar to what you would see in a hotel for the latch that you flip or maybe a chain.
Other things, when you walk into a house, it's yours now. There's usually not extras hanging around. And in this, we mean like blinds or curtains or anything. So you're walking through in view of everybody. Now, if you're like me and you basically have the body of a Greek god, you probably don't care if there's no blinds on it. But for the average person, bring something, even if it's just an ugly blanket or something temporarily hang up there, get some blinds. Now, something else I thought about, my niece moved to a new house. And when she got all the paperwork done, she wasn't ready to move in. But my wife, who's brilliant, and that's why our marriage is happy, because I just said my wife is brilliant, said, go ahead and call the utility companies now.
Mm-hmm.
They will hook up your electric. They'll hook up the gas or make sure you're on the trash removal schedule, things like that. And she did that over a week in advance, got those things hooked up. So when they walked into their new house, they had everything ready to go.
Right. I want to add one thing to that is when you change your address, it's always wise to fill out a change of address form with the post office and then follow through with the DMV on your driver's license. And that way they all jail. Even with your bank card, you have to put in your zip code and things that match up with your bank card from time to time. So that's a good thing. And another thing that and this is sometimes applicable in the case of an emergency, but I tell folks, locate your water shutoff and your breaker box. A lot of people don't know where the water shutoff is primarily. And if you live in a subdivision and you're on city water, you can usually find the meter pretty easy out near the street.
Right.
And in most cases, if you draw a straight line towards that house, the water shutoff is somewhere inside of the crawl space in that area. I recommend having a plumber come over and maybe move it to a more convenient place. A lot of newer houses have the shutoffs in a closet or something inside the living space instead of down in the crawl. So if you have a pipe burst or you have just an issue with a faucet, you can shut the water off and it doesn't damage anything else in the house. On that same note, is establish your plumbing, mechanical, and electrical contractors early on. And I know that's not necessarily a house thing, but having these folks on hand could be your saving grace. If you have something happen or, you know, heat goes out in the winter, these people are excellent to have a relationship with. And a lot of times I tell folks to find the original installer. So if there's any kind of information that comes with the house, especially if it's a new house, you should have that. But find the original installer, because a lot of these problems that can arise with water heater or HVAC system could still be under warranty and might not cost you anything. If you have an existing heating and air person that you work with and are comfortable with, of course, it's good to maybe carry them to your new house as well. But I often tell folks, if you don't have any contacts and say you moved in from out of state or something, a lot of times these neighborhoods have message boards that are pretty reliable. Also, the inspections department, it's always okay to call the local municipality and say, hey, can I speak with the heating and air inspector or the electrical inspector and say, hey, you know, who do you recommend and who does a good job? Who do you do a lot of business with and who's been around for a long time? And you could also call the supply house for those particular trades. You know, the plumbing supply or electrical supply will also be able to give you a pretty worthy recommendation.
What do you think about the home warranties you see people advertise, and you can pick a whole range of things you want to have protected?
Right.
Do you have any experience or opinion on those?
So I don't have any personal experience, and I've always been in the camp of I'm so well connected that I just call my person and they come out. But I did come across a couple that told me about a home warranty they had with Sears, and the Sears home warranty was, I think, $600 a year. Mm-hmm. And basically, if any of their appliances went out during that time when they were under contract, they would come out. So I did a little digging and found an article in Better Homes and Gardens that they ranked all the home warranty companies in the country, you know, from 1 to 10. And just to, I can't comment on all, but American Home Shield was a good one that seemed to rank pretty high. And their warranty is $20 to $65 a month, which is, you know, not a big deal. And what that covers is 14 major systems. So that includes electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, heating, water heaters, garage door openers, ceiling fans, doorbells, and exhaust fans. And that's just the basic package. So when you get into the next, that was a silver level. When you get into the gold, of course, it includes refrigerators, ovens, ranges, cooktops, and microwaves. But one thing worth noting is all these appliance replacements, if they happen, have a cap of about $3,000 at this level. When you move up to their platinum plan, they have several other perks that aren't included in the lesser plans, like HVAC tune-up. The cap increase is $6,000 instead of $3,000 on appliance replacement. They do things like AC refrigerant and $1,000 for extra building ordinance cost. There's some add-ons that they have in terms of swimming pools, spas, and certain electronics, and a couple of these different home warranty companies even offer roof coverage. Some is repair coverage. Not many do replacement, because that falls in the category of homeowner's insurance.
Right.
But it is, I think it's something for, you know, $600-$800 a year. These things are going to fail. So I don't think it's a bad idea.
And it's not a bad idea to ask a friend or a neighbor who might have one of them and see what they've thought about it, if they had to use it. We have some neighbors who have one. I don't know which one it is. And their HVAC unit went out. It was covered, but it still took them 2 months to get the replacement in. And this happened last summer.
Ooh.
Ask around first before you sign them. But you are right. For the most part, for $600 a year, it's nice to have that extra insurance. This is the Carolina Contractor Show, and we're talking about things new homeowners should do, whether it's a brand new home. But for the most part, if you're buying a pre-existing home, there's things you need to check, and efficiency is big. If you buy a house, you can contact the utility companies and see what the bills were for the past 12 months, and that'll give you an idea, unless they have like 28 people living in the house. If they have a very high bill or a low bill, it might give you an idea, but it's not a guarantee that your bills will be the same. Everybody's different, so your mileage may differ. But you need to make a list of everything that's going to have to be upgraded soon. We don't mean upgraded in a few months, but just a couple years. You've got a 10-year-old HVAC unit out there. How old is that water heater? So let's go over some of those things, Donnie.
When I made my list of everything that may needed to be upgraded, I just started with things that may affect your utilities, because what you're paying out every month, of course, is important, and that's in addition to your house payment. But the main thing is to look at this from a standpoint of the envelope and what needs to be upgraded on that envelope. The main thing is windows. So if you have the older windows without the argon gas between the panes and the low E coating, of course, those aren't even code anymore, but windows could be a substantial savings, and not just the window themselves, but a lot of times when these windows were installed in a rough opening for the framing, you can't see what's around the perimeter because,
right,
of course, it has trim work on the inside. And if you were to take that trim work off, there could be as much as a 1 to 2 inch gap around the windows all the way around. And that's just a terrible place for heat loss.
And you don't know the insulation behind it either. So what I suggest is getting a 6 inch long drill bit and just drilling holes right through your walls. And if you come out with insulation, no, I'm kidding. I wouldn't say that. real quick on windows, Donnie, screens.
Yeah.
Is that something that's kind of going the way of the dinosaur?
Now, I wouldn't say they're obsolete. It's just a preference thing. And a lot of people, I think the status, people open their windows 3 to 5 times a year. And I don't even think I do that. But I believe that, you know, they just don't look as good. So
yeah,
a lot of people opt not to have those screens. They get damaged if you ever have a hailstorm. And so just kind of a pain in the neck if you don't need them.
Yeah. My neighbor got new windows put in his house and he decided not to put the screens back up.
Right.
And it looks great. I didn't realize what a difference it made. And sometimes screens, especially if you don't clean them, can get grungy looking and a little clogged. And I just drove around the neighborhood with my daughter and we looked at a dozen houses and the majority of them don't have screens anymore.
Yep.
So
spot
just,
on.
Man, just, I was curious about it. Go ahead.
Back to the envelope. I'd say that the attic access is another thing that people don't address very often. And especially if you have a pull down stair, a lot of people have these nice walk up attic accesses. And if you do have a full size walk door, it's important to make sure that those are sealed and weather stripped. But on a pull down attic stair, a lot of these are 1/4 inch thick plywood. Another name for it's Luon. And basically it's 1/4 inch of plywood with a stair nailed to the backside
right.
of it. And that's your only barrier between the heated living space and the unconditioned attic space. So I tell folks that the best thing you can do is to buy one of these really energy efficient pull down stairs. Marwin makes one that I have in my personal house called a Thermoblock, no K on block. Mm-hmm. And it's a Thermoblock. It's 1.5 inch full size door with the stairs on the back. I also have a 5-inch tread. That's not for efficiency, but when you're carrying boxes up, it's nice to have a little
right.
extra stepping space. But if you have a door that you want to retrofit, that's also pretty cheap and easy to do that. I just recommend getting a piece of rigid foam from big box store, running a few beads of caulk and sticking the rigid foam to the backside of that 1/4 inch Luon. And then going around the perimeter with weather stripping, which is another $10 or $15. Mm-hmm. And at least you're cutting off a little bit of the conductive heat transfer, but a lot of the convective. So when your return kicks on and you've got a gap around this poorly insulated door, it's going to pull all that attic air into the living space and not easy to condition.
And if you need to replace your ladder system going to your attic, they are not made the same way they used to be. I went through that when mm-hmm. I picked up the new ladder system. My fault, I didn't look in the details, but I'm like, wow, these are kind of junky at mm-hmm. the $300 level.
Yeah.
So you need to invest in a good attic and a good attic door because it is very thin wood.
Hey, I want to, before I get off of that, we also talked about attic tents on a past
yeah.
show, and I'm a big fan of those. If you have to retrofit your door, I definitely recommend coupling that with an attic tent because those things have a really good R value and they sit right there on the top. They're easy to move out of the way and put back in place when you go in and out of the attic, and I really think that that's a good thing whether you have a really good attic stair or not.
All right, let's go on to another thing that's kind of important. It's the plumbing.
Yeah. A lot of times people ignore the plumbing pipe penetrations. And per code in a new house, all the electrical penetrations up and down have to have what they call fire caulking. It's red. And so that's one thing that an inspector looks for. But if you have any plumbing that's been installed or retrofitted or, you know, maybe you bought a house from the 80s, that wasn't necessarily a thing that they looked for per code 30 years ago. But if you open your cabinets and you can feel a draft, especially on the first floor, that usually means that your pipes are drilled right through the bottom of the cabinet and right through the floor without being sealed. Probably need to address that a couple ways, maybe even cut out a little bit of the bottom of the cabinet, because not only do you need to seal it where it goes through the cabinet, you need to seal it where it goes through the subfloor as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that allows just unconditioned, maybe humid in the summer, crawl space air to get right there into the house. And like I mentioned earlier with the attic stairs, when that return kicks on, it's pulling air from anywhere it can get it, and that's a prime place.
And there's another thing. Creepy crawlies will follow that
Ooh.
Line of PVC pipe, and they can go in through the sub and into your house, and all of a sudden you're wondering why you have a bug problem. Well, you've got a mini opening going into your cabinets where, in some cases, you might have food or something that attracts them.
Exactly. I agree. And say you get the envelope up to snuff, the next thing you should probably address is the insulation. And we talk about this all the time, but overhead insulation in the attic, the new code is R38. And I believe it was R30 for years before that, but a lot of people didn't even have that. If you go into an older home, you know, usually the insulation is only the thickness of the ceiling joist, which is about 6 inches. And then that is definitely not enough. So I recommend getting an insulation contractor out to evaluate that. If you want to take a look yourself, in most cases, the paper-backed insulation is usually clearly marked to tell you what you have, but R38 is what you want in the attic. R19 is what goes in the floor system under a house, and your walls, if there's a way to see inside of a wall somehow, R13 to R15 is the code minimum. This is something that you don't need a contractor for. I preach this all the time, that you can call an insulation contractor out, and they'll be glad to give you an analysis and just evaluate what you need to make your house up to code.
Another thing we've always been mentioning and talking about and recommending, and I finally got it a couple of years ago, and that's a vapor barrier. And a vapor barrier sounds high tech, but it's just plastic.
Yeah.
But the key is how thick it is. So real quick, let's talk about the vapor barrier.
Yeah. Code minimum is 6 mil plastic. And a lot of people do have the vapor barrier in their crawl space. And like you said, it's just a piece of plastic, but it definitely contributes to your indoor air quality. The absence of a vapor barrier is a really bad thing. And I think that if you're going to have your insulation upgraded, insulation contractors usually offer this as a service as well. And it's peanuts to go ahead and upgrade to the 10 mil. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a vapor barrier in place, if it looks like it's been roughed up and it's just not covering the ground like it should, it would definitely pay to have someone come in and redo it or just go over top of the old. Last thing I'll say is whether you're using clear plastic or black plastic, the rule of thumb is that you go with the black plastic if that's available, because it doesn't allow light to penetrate through. So if there's any vegetation that somehow made its way into your crawl space, it will not allow that to grow.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and jump on HVAC systems. And last weekend, I lost my man card. My fan on my heat pump wasn't spinning. So I happened to call my HVAC guy, and I thought maybe he could come over on the Friday before the storm. And he goes, I'm right by the hospital. I'll be over your house in 5 minutes. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. He comes by, he checks it, he puts some testers on it, and he goes, it's not getting current. Is your breaker on? And I'm like, well, I'll go check. So I go in the room and I look, and the breaker's in the correct position. And I go back out and tell him, and he says, it's not getting current. I'm sorry, but do you mind if I look at your breaker box? I'm like, yeah, sure. Come on in. It's not hard to figure out if it's on or off. Yeah, it was off. So he switched it, turns it on. The fan immediately starts turning, and he billed me $100, which was perfectly fine with me. He billed $5 to turn the breaker back on and $95 to know which breaker it was. I was looking at the wrong breaker. When it comes to HVAC systems, you need to know how old the system is in the house you bought, because the average lifespan's like 15 years.
Yep.
And this goes back to having someone you depend on to look at systems and know if the age of it is good or if it needs any work. And then you pointed out programmable thermostats, which I put in 10 years ago, and I'm a mm-hmm. huge fan of those.
Right. Big money saver. We preach about those all the time, but super easy to install, and that's definitely something that's going to not only lengthen the lifespan of your system, but it's going to make your utilities a lot less.
Do you know anything about roofs, Donnie? Because that's probably something people should look at when they get a house.
A thing or two. So with the roofs that were available, you know, up 20 years ago were all at a maximum 30-year roofs. And now, of course, we have these fancy 50-year non-prorated warranties because the shingle technology's come so far. But I tell people, when you get a house that's been lived in, and if you don't know how old the roof is, the main thing to look for when you look up at the shingles is if you see any sparkles. I know that sounds funny, but anything shiny that's reflecting the sunlight, that's usually an indicator that you're seeing the fiberglass mat. And what people don't realize is the fiberglass mat is the real roofing material, or the real substance of the roofing material. When you have the asphalt granules on top of the fiberglass mat, of course, they're embedded in that. And the granules are actually what give the roof its color, whether it's mm-hmm. black, brown, or gray. But those granules are just basically a sunscreen for the fiberglass mat. And when the granules start to come off and the fiberglass mat gets exposed, say, for instance, a house encountered a decent-sized hailstorm, and it displaced those granules all over the place. And the way that the manufacturers get out of their warranty in this instance is they say that once the fiberglass mat is exposed by a weather condition, that it decomposes at an accelerated rate. So it doesn't give the shingles the adequate time for wear and tear like they would need for a 30-year lifespan. So that fiberglass showing is definitely an indicator that you need to have the roof addressed. Another thing is people don't give enough attention to all the penetrations. They're usually on the back of the house, but if you have a chimney or pipe boots or any kind of gas appliance that has a metal B-vent stack out the back, all those need to be inspected if you see any issues in that. The old pipe boots, for instance, were made from rubber, and of course, rubber dry rot. So you have a 30-year shingle and you have maybe an 8-year pipe boot. So that's definitely something that has to be upkept through the life of that roof. And like you said earlier in the show, a lot of people are buying these houses sight unseen. So it's like, man, wow, you know, you pretty much are giving up the home inspection mm-hmm. report that's going to be $400 or $500. But if you did get a home inspection report, a lot of people are saying, you know, I'll just deal with that myself. I want the house because of, like you mentioned, location is that important to mm-hmm. them. So
this is the Carolina Contractor Show. We're giving you some tips and ideas of what to look for when you move into a new house, if it's new to you, and some changes you need to make. And we're going to burn through this list very quickly. And these are things for safety and security. Look at your appliances as one, because a lot of people, you say, well, do you have gas, heat, or electric? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely important. A lot of people just don't know that. So you can just pay your gas bill and pay your electric bill and not real sure. A lot of things that are on gas are a lot of times cooktops and ovens and mm-hmm. gas logs. So important to know that for sure. In terms of security, I would say that the cameras that work on a Wi-Fi, Most people have those in place now, but versus working a complicated security system, especially if it's on kids to turn it on and off,
yep.
I think that these things are a cheap no-brainer. Fire extinguishers, we have these planted through the house, and a lot of people don't realize that fire extinguishers have an expiration date, so
yes.
Always good to know what that is.
My niece's house caught fire in the kitchen and had an electrical problem, and she was renting the house. She grabbed the fire extinguisher, pulled the pin, hit it, nothing came out.
Mm.
Don't assume because someone left a fire extinguisher at your house when you moved into it that it works. Number two, you can buy these aerosol-type cans.
Yes.
They're very small. They're compact. They cost like $15-$20, and they even have certain ones designated for certain parts of your house because you're most likely to have a grease fire in the kitchen mm-hmm. or a standard fire somewhere else. Get them. They're cheap, easy to mount, easy to place all around your house.
Hey, while we're on that, too, we always say check smoke detectors, but if you have an older house, you know, the new code is you have to have a smoke detector inside of each bedroom and then, of course, one in the hallway outside of the bedrooms. The one outside in the hallway now is required to be a CO monitor as well, so you have to have either a combo unit or separate, and a CO monitor is also required at least one on every floor.
Yeah, we mentioned Kitta makes the combos. You can find mm-hmm. them on Amazon, have a fire CO alarm built in. Get those now. They're very cheap, and it's easy to install. And CO is that silent killer.
Right. Aside from that, I'd say safety and security gates. If you have toddlers or infants, you know, pets, it's always good to have some gates installed to kind of close off the areas they shouldn't have access to. The dryer vent, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but that dryer vent's a big deal. I think it's the second or third leading cause for house fires, so
yep.
definitely worth pulling the dryer out of the hole and you know, going in there with a vacuum cleaner or what?
A blower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't endorse that, but
I do.
A water alarm. We've preached about this for a couple of years now, and a water alarm is one of the cheapest things you can do for insurance in your crawl space. And I since stumbled on something that they have now. It's a smart water alarm, and it does have to be installed by a plumber, or you probably want to mm-hmm. have a plumber install it. But it will actually shut the water off for you. So if it senses that your gallons per minute are way more than what it should be, it will shut the water off without you having to go in the crawl space to do it, which
Good.
Is nice. And, of course, that freezer alarm. I always brag on my freezer alarm. Funny story, back when we were at home with all the snow, one of the girls went down to the basement freezer, and they thought they pushed the freezer closed and did not. Well, my freezer alarm sensor, the battery actually went out on it, and thank goodness somebody asked me for something that I need, a construction lock Ooh. Or something. I go into that room trying to dig up a construction lock, and lo and behold, you know, nothing was everything had thawed just a little bit, but it was still mainly frozen, but another day later, I would have lost $1,000 worth of meat.
Now, the poor man's freezer alarm, it doesn't stop it from melting, but if you go on vacation and you want to know if you lost power and everything melted, and then before you get back, the power mm-hmm. came on and everything's frozen again, you take a cup of water mm-hmm. and freeze it, and then you set like a quarter on top of it and put it in the freezer. And mm-hmm. then if the freezer lost power and the cup of water or ice melted, the quarter will sink down in. And then if the power comes back on mm-hmm. and you didn't know it, it freezes so you could look.
Ooh, I like it.
It's the poor man's version, so you at least don't eat tainted meat. So the things we went over were upgrades you can make right off the bat, including your toilet seats, checking the house for efficiency issues or making sure you don't need to address an efficiency problem. We just talked about safety and security. What are some like wish list things you can knock off for our listeners, Donnie, to do to a house that you've just moved into?
Yeah, I'd categorize those as pretty much everything cosmetic or anything, mm-hmm. any investments you have in the house that doesn't have a dollar for dollar payback. You know, for instance, there's things you wouldn't think about, like an entry door replacement. You know, you get 100% payback on that. Kitchen remodels, you don't, not so much. It's maybe like 80% ROI. You know, siding replacement is one that's okay. It's about 85%, but deck and patio additions, you only get 80% of your money back there. Roof replacement, they say that it adds 7% of the value
Wow.
of your house. So a roof is a good dollar for dollar payback, but still I would categorize that as cosmetic because you need to get the utilities and everything involved with the envelope straight first. A lot of these things, flooring, you know, bathroom remodels, paint, things like that can wait, but I would categorize all those as wish list items.
So if you're a first-time home buyer, I hope you really enjoyed today's show and learned something from it. If you know somebody who's a first-time home buyer or getting ready to get into their first house, go ahead and link them to the show, thecarolinacontractor.com, and they can listen to this episode and maybe learn some things they can be proactive about and do right away when they first walk into the door and other things they need to expect in the first months and years of being a homeowner for the first time. The website, again, is thecarolinacontractor.com. We thank you so much for tuning in. Keep in contact with us through Facebook and Instagram, and you can watch our videos on YouTube and send us emails. Again, if you have a question about your house, click on that Ask the Contractor button. And we will see you next week on the Carolina Contractor Show. Thanks for listening to the Carolina Contractor Show. Learn more at thecarolinacontractor.com.
Attention, all caddies, and listen up. This is Sergeant Slaughter, WWE World Heavyweight Champion and drill instructor for G.I. Joe. And I have a high priority communication message for all military personnel called Operation Slaughter. Sure Top Roofing believes in making an effort to assist our veterans and all military men and women who are actively serving in our United States Armed Forces. Sure Top Roofing has teamed up with GAF to offer you a $250 rebate on all full roof replacements. The top brass at Sure Top Roofing has assured me that they will match the $250 rebate by covering all warranty registrations for their 50-year enhanced warranty so that you, their heroes, can be secure in your home barracks. So here's your orders. Visit SureTopRoofing.com to schedule your free Roof for Troops estimate and tell them that the Sarge sent you. Any questions? Good. God bless you, and may God continue to bless America. USA number one. Yo, Joe.